so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to finish a message that I began last week, and a series that we began at the beginning of the year called 2020 Vision. 2020 Vision. 2020 Vision. And we've been talking about it. Then last week we dealt with unrestrained. Now, thank you, musicians. If, who's back there? Ryan. Ryan, I'm going to roll through my last week's very quickly just by the points on there. If I look at my notes, I'm going to preach. I don't want to do that. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 44. When you get there, say amen. If you don't plan on finding it, say I'm a heathen. Ha ha! Yeah, I got you. Amen. Then he brought me back by the way of the outer gate of the sanctuary which faces the east, and it was shut. The Lord said to me, "This gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no one shall enter by it, for the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. The God of Israel has entered by it, therefore it shall remain shut. Only the prince may sit in it to eat bread before the Lord, and he shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gate and shall go out by the same way." Then he brought me by the way of the north gate to the front of the temple and looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. And I fell on my face, and the Lord said to me, "Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes, hear with your ears all that I shall tell you concerning the statutes of the temple of the Lord and all its laws. Mark well the entrance to the temple and the exits from the sanctuary, and say to the rebellious house, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, enough of all your abominations in admitting foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and flesh, to be in my sanctuary, profaning my temple. When you offer me my food, the fat of the blood, fat in the blood, you have spoken or broken my covenant, in addition to all your abominations, and you have not kept charge of my holy things, but you have set others to keep my charge for you in the sanctuary." Now, hear what they're saying. You've asked other people to do what I've asked you to do. You've asked other people to do something that you can't expect the worship team to worship for you. You can't expect the prayer team to pray just for you and you not pray for yourself. You can't ask for other folks to do something for you that you have the ability to do for yourself. And it goes on to say that thus says the Lord God, no foreigner, uncircumcised heart, uncircumcised in flesh, all the foreigners who are among the sons of Israel shall enter my sanctuary. Verse 10 says, but the Levites who went far from me, going astray from me after their idols, when Israel went astray, shall bear their punishment. They shall be ministers in my sanctuary, have oversight at the gates of the temple, and ministering in the temple. They shall slaughter the burnt offerings and the sacrifices of the people, and they shall stand before the people to minister to them. Now, verse number 11, that's where we're at. I don't know if you caught it, but I need to share it with you. Because he says, you've done all these things, and you've broken my covenant. And here's what he says to them. He says, they, the ones who've done this, shall be ministers in my sanctuary. They're going to work in the church. They're going to do stuff in the church. But they're going to have oversights of all the gates of the temple and ministering in the temple. They shall slaughter the burnt offerings. They shall work in the church. But look at the last part. They shall minister to them. Who's that mean? To the people. They shall minister to them. Verse 12. Because they ministered to them before their idols and became a stumbling block of iniquity to the house of Israel. Therefore I have sworn concerning them, declares the Lord God, and they shall bear their punishment. Now the next verse has become to me one of the scariest verses I've read in a long time. Now, I've read the verses. I've read the Bible several different times all the way through. But this time, this last week, while I was on vacation, as a matter of fact, as I read it, it became very scary to me. And they shall not come near to me, is what God's saying. They shall minister to them, but they shall not come near to me to serve me as a priest to me, nor come near to any of my holy things, to the things that are most holy. But they will bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Yet I will appoint them to keep charge of the temple, to do all this, all of its service, and all that is to be done in it. But the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the people of Israel went astray from me, shall come near to minister to me. The ones who stayed true, that didn't go away from me, but stayed with me, they will be the ones that come and minister to me. And they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and blood, declares the Lord God. They shall come near to my table to minister to me and keep my charge. When they enter the gates of the inner court, they shall wear linen garments. They shall have nothing of wool on them while they minister at the gates of the inner court within. Do you have verse 18 right there handy? Linen turbans shall be on their heads, and linen undergarments shall be on their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything which makes them sweat. Now let me just add this on there for free. That when you minister along with the Lord and to the Lord, you ain't got to sweat it. You ain't got to sweat it because God's got this. So I'm gonna take you real quickly through last week. That everybody in this room has sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care who you are. Everybody has done that. Come on, go with me, Brian, so that if I look at my notes, I'm gonna preach. Just give me my next one. Let me run through it. The Bible, our series, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint and run wild. But happy is he who keeps the law. Come on. When God brings you out of sin, from being lost in the world, he has still got to bring some stuff off of us, right? Without vision, you lose sight of what is important. Eli, and this was the order of the Levites, were of this order, and they had lost it because Eli had become consumed with flesh. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And they, the Bible says, that they were worthless men, even though they were the priests in the temple. I know some worthless preachers. I also know some worthless parishioners. Eli in our text was lazy, undisciplined. It all says that he had no vision. He is seated and leaning back, which represents content and comfortable with where he was. Let me just be real clear today. I want to evict you from your comfort zone. Let me be real clear. I want to comfort the uncomfortable and make those that are comfortable uncomfortable, and those that are uncomfortable make you comfortable. Pastor, I'm trying. The next generation will suffer if I lose my vision. The problem, according to this text, if I lose my vision, my kids will become unrestrained. When you are not thinking about the future, about the next generation, you will be satisfied with where you are. I'm not satisfied with where I am. I want to blaze a trail where my children, where Stevie Wonder could find his way. Because there's such a marked trail that he would know the way. When we think that we are living in a certain way and getting away with it, we need to remember Ecclesiastes 8 and 11. And let me give it to you just in a brief scenario. It basically says that judgment is delayed. People think that they're getting away with it. You ever seen people that you know stuff on? And God's still using them? And God's still blessing them? And you're like, God, I know stuff on them. Why are you? I'm better than they are. Oh, y'all, I know y'all don't ever say that. I'm just trying to help those that aren't here. Lord, I know I'm a better person than them. I know I'm a better Christian than them. I know that I'm saved. Look at them. Look what you let them get away with. Listen, I'm pleading with you today to don't let this service leave or don't let this service be over before you get your heart right if you're one of those people. If you're one of those people that God has winked at, that you think that God has winked at your sin because you're still being blessed. All right, I've shared this story a couple of times. And I've had a couple of people, when I get through telling this story after service, they'll come to me, "Pastor, what was you doing? Let me go ahead and help you." None of your business. But our church was growing, and we were over in the little building, and I'll never forget, I just wasn't where I needed to be with God. I couldn't even ask God to anoint me that day because I knew I didn't deserve it. And I was looking out the windows, and our ushers were having to park cars because we didn't have a parking lot back then. So we were parking them in the grass, and people were just coming in. And I'll never forget, here's what I said to God. I said, "God, I don't deserve your anointing today. But there are 200 people that are going to show up looking to me to speak for you. And even though I don't deserve it, would you anoint me for them?" Now, I went out there and preached like a man from another planet. I'm telling you, it was a special anointing. And as soon as service was over, here's what the devil said. Sitting right here. "See, you ain't that bad. See, what you thought that God was going to judge you for, he didn't." See, that's where we get into trouble. I'll tell you straight up, I go, "No, devil, in the name of Jesus." And you know, and I repented, and I was like David. Oh, you know, "Oh God, my sin is ever before me." I mean, I repented, man. But the reality is so many of us think because we're blessed, because we're still being blessed, that we think that God has winked at what we've done or what we are presently doing. Point number three is where we're starting off, that there are two types of priesthoods that are in my house, in the temple. Now you may go, "Well, Pastor, are you talking about preachers?" No, the Bible calls all of us ministers and priests and kings. So there are two types of people in this place today. One is the priesthood of Eli, and they are consumed with flesh, and they have no vision. Now they're in the church. They even might work in the church. Oh, help me now. I caution our pastors. I caution our pastors not to get so busy working for God that they forget they're working with God. That we've got to be cautious that we're not doing the work of the ministry, that we forget ministry. That we are doing the work for God's people, that we forget God and somehow think it's about us and not about him. Oh, I'm going to preach whether you amen or not. You see, he said, "I'm still..." Now, here's what messes with me a little bit. He said, "I'm still going to use these Levites," or "I'm still going to use the priests of Eli. I can still use them, but they're going to minister to them, but they're not going to minister to me." I'm going to tell you what, that was a long flight, a long day coming back from Utah, our vacation. We had to change flights. We flew, we started out at 7:30 that morning, and I didn't get home till 1:30 the next morning. And it was a long flight for several reasons. It was a long flight. We flew to Baltimore, which was 4 hours, and then from Baltimore to Tampa, another 2.5 hours. But I'm going to tell you, that 4 hours, I was working on this message, and that 4 hours were the longest 4 hours of my life. Because I begin to ask myself the question, "God, do I minister to the people or do I still minister to you? God, do I preach for the applause of man or do I still preach for the applause of you?" You need to ask yourself that question. I am still going to, he said, "I'm still going to let them have ministry in my house." And notice it says they will minister to them, but they will not come near to me. God said, because I love my people so much, if they can sing the gifts, I'm going to let them sing. If they can play, I'm going to let them play. If they can teach, I'm going to let them teach. If they can ush, I'm going to let them ush. Usher, in case you wasn't caught that. If they can do this, I'm going to let them, because I'm going to let them use their gift. Because the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. Once you have the gift, he doesn't take it back from you. God is not an Indian giver. That's why it is so important that we know the fruit and not just the gift. That's why people can still preach and still have results, because the word goes out and will not return unto him void. But he says, I'm only going to let them minister to them. And we see this so often. The word won't return void. The song is still anointed. And even when somebody's not living right. Have you ever seen somebody not living right but still sing the house down? Not only do I know him, I am him. Wait a minute, preacher. You're making me nervous now. No. When I was 16 years old, I played the piano for my dad. And I would play the piano and people would shout and jump and buck. But I was drunk every Friday and Saturday night. Well, why'd you do it? Because I love my daddy. And I had a gift. But it wasn't because I was living right. Am I talking to anybody? And just because I didn't claim to be saved. But God still used me. How many people is that messing with your theology? Yeah, like, oh man. Pastor, I thought if they were used by God, they were living right. Not necessarily. That's the gift. We see this so often that the word won't return void. But you ever wonder that you know stuff on people and God uses them anyway? That'll mess with you. God's gifts is without repentance. He does not take it back, and they can still do it and still minister to them. Who's them? Us. Woo! That was a great song. Oh, wow, that was a great book report. Wow, I can't believe that he has such insight. I can't believe. But you see the way they greet? They're just so friendly. Am I talking to anybody? You have to remember that God loves us enough that he would use a donkey. See, any time that I start getting puffed up, when I get to thinking, well, God uses me, I remember he also used a donkey. Yeah. That's the first priesthood. And in your Bible it says, I will use my gift to keep on making a living. I don't have to live pure, verse 13. And he said that he can minister to them, but they shall not come near to minister to me. You ever known people who used to have a passion for ministry, now they just go through the motions? Listen, let me tell you something, folks. See, once you've been doing it, as long as I've been doing this, and as long as some of you have been doing what you do, you start asking the question, well, I've been doing this so long, I don't know how to do anything else. And you begin to know how to do it. But if you don't have the right motive and the right heart, you're just ministering to them but not to him. So periodically, and I'm giving everybody a heart check today. I'm giving everybody a check on your motive, a motive check today. Why are we doing what we do? So that we can have the title? You know, I don't know, but, you know, my youngest daughter, for whatever reason, because some of the guys around here at the church, they don't call me pastor, and I'm not hung up on titles. They don't call me pastor, but my youngest daughter been calling me bishop. Hey, bishop, I'm like, are you kidding me? What happened to daddy? You know? Because bishop ain't going to pay your bill. Daddy going to pay your bill. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? But we got to get careful that we don't get puffed up in our title and in our position And in our ranking, the disciples did the same thing. Jesus, who's going to sit on your right? Who's going to sit on your left? He said, the one who serves the most. That's what we got to be doing. But listen, but even in serving, don't point at nobody, but how many people do you know that are very proud about their servanthood? It's almost like they're very proud of their humbleness. We've got to be careful. This is a heart check on you and on ministry and on anybody around you. Ministry will continue to flow through them to the people, but they will not minister to me, God said. They will not have intimacy with me. They will not come into the holy place. They will not come near me. And I'm going to tell you, last week I said, God, I thank you for the crowd, but I'd rather have you than anybody else. God, and if I've had a faraway look in my eye, come on somebody, that I've been looking at somebody else instead of you, God, I'm bringing my eyes back to you. I'm bringing my heart back to you. I'm bringing it back to you, God, the author, the finisher of my faith. See, this has become one of the scariest scriptures I've read in a long time, that my ministry, I want you to hear me, that my ministry can become more about performance, ministering to them, using the gifts God has given me, than ministering to him. I mean, don't get me wrong, man, I love the amens, that helped me and all that, but am I just preaching for the amen? Am I just preaching for you to say that was a good message? But am I preaching what God has put in my spirit? Now, I believe, because I've checked myself. I've done a checkup from the head up. Come on, somebody. I've done a check from the feet up. God many times will let a minister minister to you, and the gift will work. And God is so gracious that he would give the person, the minister, the instrument, you, me, whatever, a time to repent. But he would still not let you come near him. I know a man who was as backslid as a yard dog, but could prophesy to you truth. He could read your mail. That's why we've got to make sure that we know the fruit. Because God loves you enough, he'll use a donkey. God loves you enough, he'll use a dirty bird. God loves you enough, he'll use whomever to speak to you. You ever had somebody who's completely crazy, but then all of a sudden give you a word that you know was from God? I am not believing that. What? That was on time. Why? Because God will use anybody that'll let him. You can minister to people, but you don't touch God. You don't come near to God to minister to God. My question today is, of what priesthood do you want to have? Of what priesthood do you want to be in? I've answered the question. I want to be in the priesthood that ministers to God. See, because this type that is consumed with flesh that ministers to them are ministers to God. Do you want to walk that looks religious or looks righteous outwardly, and everybody think that you're the real deal, but secretly you know you're not? The truth is, are you ready? The truth is, we can't tell by your success. Boy, it's quiet up in here. Some of y'all that brought guests, you're like, he ain't normally like this. It's normally better. I don't know what's got into him, but it'll be hard. We can't tell by how good you can play the piano, how good you can play on the drums, how good you teach the class, or how much money you make, or how much money you give, or even how big your ministry is. You can't tell. It's got to be a heart check. It's got to be something you know. And you got to look for the fruit and not just the gift. The big question is, when God looks at you, does he see purity? And will he let you come minister to him? Whew. Lord, will you let me minister to you? Well, Pastor, how do I minister to God? By doing what you do. But who you won't get the credit? Who do you want get the glory? Who do you want to? Do you want people to go, oh, you're all that in a bag of chips and some government cheese? Everybody in this room likes that. But are you more concerned about God? See, listen, I know how to put a sermon together. I could come in here and get you up on your feet and let's do it. But that ain't what God gave me this week. I'm trying to give you what God gave me. I want you to recognize that not just the preachers in the church has to check and make sure that they stay connected to God, that they stay ministering to God, but so do you. I know people who worship their pastor more than they do God. Who worship a song, a singer, or a song more than they do God. We've got to make sure that nobody, even your spouse or help me Jesus, your children, take any precedence over God. He said, I'm a jealous God. See, if you want to minister to them, that's the Eli priesthood. But the second type, verse 15. The second type is the priesthood of the sons of Zadok, who was a descendant of Eleazar, a Levite. They shall minister to me, he said. They shall come unto me. In other words, purity will keep you from having to sweat when you're being used. Now, what do you mean? Well, Pastor, you're sweating all the time. Now, ain't what I'm talking about. I don't have to wonder, God, oh God, you're using me and I know I ain't right. See, that'll make you nervous. Or some people have gotten callous to it. But as you minister to people, you're also able to minister to God. And you know God personally. I don't know God just because Papa told me about God. I don't know God because Coach told me about God. I don't know God just because Daddy told me about God. I know God because I have a personal relationship with him. See, listen, y'all was introduced to JP, my future son-in-law. And you might go, you know this, that, and the other about him, but you don't know him. You've just seen him. Well, Pastor, I'm sure he's anointed. I felt it when he sung. He's got good song. He got good pipes. Well, Pastor, I saw him anointed. You don't know that. He could be faking it. Right? Or he could just, I know people who just get blessed by their own singing. Right? How many know people who get blessed by their own singing and they can't even sing? In the text, God is talking about personal holiness. He has said, I'm looking at the church. I'm not looking at the sanctuary. I'm not looking at the individual. Or I'm looking at the individual. I'm not looking at the church. I'm not looking at it. I'm looking to you. You. You're personal. Well, I go to that church. I don't give a rip. He didn't ask you what church do you go to. Do you have a personal relationship with him? Is there holiness in your life? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7 that the man looks on the outward appearance, but God examines your heart. Part number four is this. Point number four. He is saying there are two types of people serving me today. What type are you? Are you one that's just flesh? Are you one that just wants to come and minister to the people? Because how many knows that there are people persons? There are people persons, and they don't have to be anointed or live right to be people persons. Can I tell you that I was a good time even before I got saved? Well, Pastor, you're very likable. Well, I hope so. But I was a little bit likable before I got saved. So it's not about likability. It's not about titles. It's, do I have a personal relationship with God? There are people that honor their personal convictions. What a concept. Why don't we do this? Well, my church said we don't do that. What happened to personal convictions? I don't do that because the Bible says not. I don't do that because God convicted me of this. You know, my daddy used to, I used to tell my daddy, hey, Dad, they're doing this and they're doing that. And so everybody's doing it. He said, I'm not doing it until I do it. Everybody ain't doing it. Well, there's some wisdom in that old man. And there are people who are saved and they're going to heaven, but they refuse to completely give themselves or clean themselves up. And there will come a time of judgment. God says, I will use you and your gift, and you can minister to them, but you will not come near to me. Boy, I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm trying to get it into you. There are others who say, God, anything you want. Anything you want. You can purge me. You can clean me. Because I would rather minister to you than minister to people. Now, I want to minister to people. If you minister to God, he'll put a want to in you to minister to people. Because you want to tell people where you found bread. You want to tell people where you found help. You want to tell people how God helped you, how God saved you, how God delivered you, whatever the case may be. You see, you see, we have a generation of church that talks about ministering to people, loving people, looking after people, and all that's important. And I understand that the Bible says you will know them, that they are mine if you have love one to another. I understand that. But he was talking about church brothers loving their brothers and sisters loving their sisters. But what I believe he is saying here, he wants a people that will minister to him. And when we minister to him, we don't get frustrated or as frustrated. Well, I only had one person in my focus group. Who are you doing it for? I'll never forget, in 2004, I went to Jamaica to go into the interior and do a leadership conference, and I was just glad to be there. The guy that they invited couldn't come, and they said, send me your best person. Well, he wasn't available, so he sent me. And so I went, and I'll never forget, we got on the bus, and I was with all the big muckety mucks. And you ever been on the bus that you knew you didn't belong? I'm on that bus, and everybody starts saying, well, how many was in your group? And one guy goes, well, there was two people in my group. Both of them were 74. One of them couldn't hear. I didn't come all the way to Jamaica to minister to two people. Another one said, well, Lord, I only had five. And they just went around the bus. I only had three. And then they got to me. And me and Sherry was there. And they go, well, how many was in your class? I said, a few. And Sherry said, you know Sherry. Sherry goes, that was standing room only. We had to open the windows so they could hear. They were literally standing around the windows. Now, and I thought about that this week because I thought I didn't go to minister to the crowd. I just went to minister to him and the crowd came. Are you listening to me? See, that's where we're missing it. See, you know, you look around. And I don't know, where's our ushers at? How many we got in here today? How many we got in here? Anybody know? Did y'all count? 192. 192. Come here, Sandra. Sandra was here when I got here. She's about only the one of the only ones I haven't run off. She was here when I got here. I stayed in her house while I looked for a house when I came here. So, do you remember what the service used to look like? She's laughing. They'd fit on the stage. Listen, I remember when we used to have the 8 o'clock service and there were 25. And I'd be excited if there were 35. And if there were 50, I thought we had a full house. But can I tell you, I preached as hard to those 25 as I did to the 150, 200 in the next service. And that's the one I continue. I don't care if there's 3. I don't care if there's 300 or 3,000. I'm going to preach what God laid on my heart and give it everything I got, because I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching for the glory of God. I want to minister unto him. In the old church, we called it sanctification. And you don't hear much about sanctification anymore. You don't hear much about getting rid of things that would hold you back. Things, getting rid of things that God can't use. You don't hear much about it even went as far to say in the Bible that the priest tried to minister to God without holiness, that God would kill him on the spot. You know, I'm telling you, I've told the Lord, Lord, if you'd just drop a few people and let everybody know why you dropped them. Now, with saying that, God, I don't want to be one of the ones you drop. Come on, somebody. I know y'all too righteous for that. But if you'd drop a few people, why'd he die? Oh, he didn't pay tithe. He lied to the Holy Ghost. That's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, right? What happened to him? I don't know. He was greeting at the door, and then poof, the magic dragon. He's gone. Thank God that we're under grace. Thank God we're under mercy. But we've seen ministries that were doing national and international things. And all of a sudden, we see where they have fallen into sin. And it kept on going for years. How did God do that? God kept giving them an opportunity to make it right. Don't leave this service today without getting right with God. If you've been shirking, does everybody understand that word, shirking your responsibility? If you've been dodging what God's been asking you to give up and what God's been asking you to give to Him, don't do that. Don't do that today. According to the scripture, it says that we can be doing ministry and using our gifts to affect people, but we can't come near to God. And everybody's looking at you saying, oh, how great your ministry is. But the truth is, God is saying that there are both in my house. You know, I do my best. I do my best not to have people on this stage who live compromising situations and lifestyles. I do my best. There are some areas that we are a little bit more lax, you know. I mean, but if you're going to be in leadership, I'm going to know you. I'm going to ask you some hard questions because I want to know who we put up here, that they're not just here to minister to you, but they're here to first minister to God. I believe in every church that we're going to include this one, that there are people that ministers and they use their gifts and they're keeping kids and they're watching the nursery and they're parking cars and they're teaching and they're playing music and they're pastoring and they're visiting people and loving people, and both are ministering to people, but one gets accepted to minister to God. And I want everybody that we've got ministering to be able to minister to people, but first ministered unto God. And the only ministers to them, He held them at arm's length. It's God's decision, it's not yours. In the church, there are two types of priesthood. There is one that can minister to them and the other that can minister to Him. Which one do you want to be? Which one do you want to be? Which one are you? With Eli, God was long-suffering. God continues to bless the house. But just because God is not judging you does not mean that He is winking at you or agreeing with you. Just like King David, a man after God's own heart. God is saying, I can deal with somebody who in their heart, they are trying their best and want to do better. Those that are heart toward God. To be used of God is a precious thing. You remember the first time you ever really realized that God used you to talk to somebody, to minister to somebody, to pray with somebody? You felt it? Can I just admonish you to treasure it? Can I tell you to guard it? Don't play with the anointing. Don't play with the gifting that God has put on your life. Don't play with your talent. Don't play with God's favor. Don't play with God's success. You can lose His favor. You can lose the touch of God on your life. You can lose the ability to minister unto God. You can lose the anointing. And there is a difference in gifting and anointing. You can fill a room with gifting. Hear me. I want you to hear me closely. You can fill a room with gifting. But it's only the anointing that breaks the chains in the room. I don't want to just gather people and then not have the power to break the chains of bondage and darkness off their life. I'm afraid that we have so many rooms that are full, but less rooms be having chains broken. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19 says this: "Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness." Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for the every good work. They are both vessels. They are both in the house, some for honor, some for dishonor. But verse 21 says, if you will judge yourself, God said, I won't have to. God's not looking for perfect people. How do I know? Because He uses me, I minister to Him, and I know I'm not perfect. But man, my heart is toward Him. My heart is toward Him. See, this is the kind of preaching that'll make you do an inspection on your soul. This is the kind of preaching that'll get you to heaven. This is the kind of preaching that makes it a little bit uncomfortable. But I'm called to be the mouthpiece, not only to minister to you, but to minister to Him. I'm so thankful for mercy and grace. Would you take a moment today and just look introspectively into your life and ask the hard question. Ask the question you don't want anybody to ask you. Have you quit ministering to God? Have you quit ministering to God and now you just do what you do because it's the right thing to do? It's because it's the only thing you know to do? Or do you minister out of an overflow of you ministering unto God? I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you're not ministering to Him yet, but you can. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, but you'd like to, I give you my word. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. I'm not going to ask you to stand by yourself or anything like that. But if you don't know Jesus and you want to, would you slip up your hand? I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else, you can put it right back down. I see that hand. God bless you. Now, let me ask you this question. Maybe you know Him, but you're away from Him. Or maybe even you're one of the other ministers. You're the ministers of Eli. And today, between me, you, and the Lord, you're going to say, Pastor, I'm going to get it right with God. I'm going to quit veering to the left, but I'm going to get right. Come on, lift your hand. Hands all over this building. Holy Spirit of God, would everybody in this place stand to your feet this morning? I'm going to lead us in a prayer. The Spirit Life team is going to come as I lead you in this prayer.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.